Welcome to Solo 2.0, an empowerment podcast hosted by two sisters living in LA, making their way through the health and wellness world. I'm Ryan Birch.
And I'm Jess Sukan. Each week, we're committed to bringing you conversations with risk-taking, resilient guests from diverse backgrounds,
interviews with experts on controversial or misunderstood topics that will expand your perspective,
and lively roundtable discussions with our mom, hormone health educator, Candace Birch.
We're driven to provide the support and motivation needed to ignite growth, confidence, and purpose so you can step into that 2.0 version of you.
We can't wait to dig into these conversations and hope you'll join us every week for a new episode.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Solo 2.0 podcast. I'm Jess, holistic health coach and founder of Body Bliss by Jess.
And I'm Ryan, co-founder of Your Hormone Balance. So Jess and I are sitting here on her bed today. We had a bit of a snafu. Our recording device that we usually use, we can't find the charger anywhere. So sorry if the sound quality is any different, but hopefully this works out just fine. We're just using our phone today. But today we are very excited to have another sister duo on the podcast. And we'll be introing them in just a moment, but continuing with our new episode and interview format, Jess and I are going to chat about some experiences from our lives relating to the theme of this interview. And then we're going to get into calling our guests, which today are Teddy and Sonia, the founders of Girl Powerful, which is a youth empowerment 501c3 designed to give tween and teen girls the social and emotional learning tools to build a strong sense of self. Through virtual after-school enrichment courses, self-care summits, and mental health products, their mission is for all girls to feel seen, valued, and heard. Sonia and Teddy Surge have built a safe community to help girls build confidence, celebrate their strengths, and teach them that they hold the power inside of them to be proud of who they are. And they mentor over 2,400 girls since 2014. And again, they are sisters. So it's just truly amazing, this work that they're doing. Fun. And what I love most about the work they do is that all donations from this project benefit their Girl Powerful Scholarship Fund, which provides Girl Powerful programming to underserved girls at no cost to their families. So this conversation is long overdue. We've been trying to have them on the podcast and failing due to scheduling issues for a while now. But we are so looking forward to having this conversation with them in our new interview format and focusing today specifically on building confidence and kind of reflecting on times in our lives as young tweens, young adults, where we really just had a lot of insecurities and how those experiences shaped our lives, how we built greater confidence, and personally, Jess and I. And then, of course, we want to ask them about their story, their stories as young girls, as young sisters, and the evolution of this project. And especially kind of what's going on with young tweens and young girls today and how we can all make a greater impact in helping those young girls, because there's so much going on in the world right now. It's just, it's a hard time to be growing up. So
I almost feel like the fact that we weren't able to interview them until now is actually better timing because of everything that's been going on and just how challenging it's been for every single person. But I can't even imagine for tweens and teens and young kids who have been pulled out of school and don't have that social connection that they used to have. I mean, you think about how much time they used to be engaged with people and, you know, it's like through their classes, through maybe after school programs, through get togethers with their friends, and all of that has been stripped away. So I think, you know, rates of suicide and depression within that age group were already on the rise, but now I can imagine they've gotten even higher, and social media was already a concern, but now it's like, gosh, everyone's just isolated at home. How much more are they on their phones? So it'll be really interesting to talk to them now.
Yeah, and get their perspective, because it's so true. When I think about being a young girl, I hated my body so much. I thought I was so ugly. I think I was talking to my friends about this the other day, and they were all like, gosh, me too. I think we all felt like that. But I just remember being so mean to myself, and we didn't even have social media then.
Yeah.
That was just based on all the magazines I was, because, you know, I was obsessed with magazines. And,
I love them too, but not to the extent of, like, you. I feel like every single night you'd have your little, I can still picture your little magazine rack next to your bed. Always had it stuffed, and every night she'd be up till, like, 2 in the morning, I feel like, reading under the covers her Teen People magazines.
Yeah, and I think, I can't remember which one it was that I loved.
Cosmo.
A little bit of that, but I didn't love the sex stories necessarily. I always was looking for kind of the real stories of women being successful or kind of finding their way. I loved the stories, but I also just, I don't know, maybe that's how I got into journalism stuff. Anyway, off topic, but back then, the only thing that impacted my self-confidence, well, not the only thing, all of the media impacts all of our self-worth. Yeah. But the magazines, and now you layer on the media, the magazines, social media, and the rise of celebrity, and everybody's a celebrity now. And even just layer on the freaking filters now where they change your face shape.
Ugh, it's insane. That actually pisses me
off. It pisses me off too.
I know. It's like, oh, you, I did a little rant on this on Instagram, but it's like, oh, you're not worthy of speaking or sharing an important message until you look like you have plastic surgery.
Right.
Like, until you look good enough. And I just feel like that is so sending the wrong message, where it's like, you have to look perfect at all times.
And it does a number on your head, because, I mean, Jess and I had this sister weekend the other weekend, and like, I was showing her the difference between this short little video I had to do for my business, Your Hormone Balance, and the difference from just when I had, and it wasn't even a face changing filter. It was just any of those normal ones that just gives you a little bit of a tan. And then when I went to the normal one, I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize I was this ugly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, but it's weird. It's just the camera, the lighting, everything. There's so many elements to it.
Oh my God.
You just get in your own head, and it's like, we don't need that. We don't need more areas to be more self-conscious.
Well, and it's because a lot of it is because you're comparing yourself to the other, you know, social media influencers whose job, you have to remember, a lot of them, they are paid full time through Instagram. So part of their job is getting up, putting on a full face of makeup, making sure their hair looks good, putting on an outfit, having the right filters. And we're looking at those people and then being like, oh my gosh, I need to, you know, present myself in that manner as well. But that's just not realistic. You know, you're in school, you have a million responsibilities, you have a job, you have family and friends that you need to put your attention towards. Plus the fact that we're all pretty much still staying at home. So we're probably in sweats just trying to be ourselves, you know, and then we're feeling like we have to, on top of it, be so concerned with whatever other people think of what we look like.
And people getting so much Botox and so much plastic surgery, no judgment at all if that makes you feel good. But I think for so many influencers to be getting plastic surgery done and never admitting it, never acknowledging it. Like, I have so much more respect for those that talk about it, because it's like,
same.
You have so many thousands, if not millions, of young girls looking at you being like, why does my body not look like that? Why does my face not look like that? Because it's not normal. Because I had work done, and it would be so helpful if someone admitted that once in a while. And some people do. Like, Lauren of Skinny Confidential has been very open about that over the years, and it's kind of obvious, you know, but it's like, okay, in cases where it's obvious, like Kylie Jenner, it's like, she even said in an interview at one point she hadn't had any work done, and that just pisses me off so much for young girls, because I can look at her pictures and be like, geez, like, whoa.
No one has an ass like that.
Yeah, or like, damn, her body is insane because she paid for it. But when you're young, you don't understand that. You're just like, why are my hips like that big and my waist so tiny and my face so perfect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I feel like when I was a tween, it was all about the rail thin. So it was all about like the supermodel rail thin, which it still is about that. But I feel like now there's two extremes. There's that, and then there's the like, huge butt, huge boobs that are paid for.
The Kardashian.
You know, the Kardashian, which it's like, yeah, some people are naturally blessed with a big butt and big boobs and curves, and that's amazing. But a lot of people are not. So it's like, And then in the media, it's either, okay, skinny, stick skinny, or, you know, these Kardashian type bodies. Mm-hmm. I think that is changing. Thank God. There's so many body positive advocates out there and the conversation is being had more and more.
Yeah.
But I even just read an article, not to go off too much, but that TikTok has been sort of deleting or blocking posts of body positive influencers that have posted, you know, in lingerie and different bathing suits and stuff like that on TikTok, but yet keeping all of these like skinny models photos and bathing suits and not deleting them. And TikTok's defense is sort of, well, there's an algorithm, but then it is true that in the US, it really does come down to a human has to make the final call. But a lot of these humans are in different countries that may not understand like cultural cues over here or in their upbringing. Maybe they didn't realize that, you know, a curvier body was okay. And it's crazy. You're leaving it up
to I didn't humans. Realize that that even happened.
Yeah.
That a human decides.
It's like a big, big issue right now. And, you know, TikTok is needing to be held accountable and change things.
And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Like, for example, we had Carmen Renee on our podcast earlier on, and we all about body positivity, and she refers to herself as fat. She's like, we shouldn't be afraid of the word, but we are all beautiful. And, you know, my bigger body doesn't mean I'm unhealthy, and I'm going to celebrate all of my curves. And I'm going, you know, she poses in bathing suits. She poses nude sometimes, and it's very liberating. And it's also, we see that all the time from skinny girls in wearing almost nothing or like in a thong with your huge butt and all of, you know, whatever guys are looking at them, including young boys, that's okay. But, you know, bigger bodies are not. There's immediately some sort of a response to that. That's not okay. But we've all been conditioned to accept these other bodies through the media as being okay.
And you're leaving it up to these people with their own implicit bias to decide whether or not this content gets to stay based on what they believe, you know, is acceptable. And that is just unacceptable in my book. And there's so much of that going on. But on to a positive note, with people like Carmen and so many others out there, the space is changing. And I would just encourage young girls, and, you know, hopefully we'll talk to Teddy and Sonia, to follow those accounts, you know, to seek those out, to do a detox of your social feed and delete anybody who makes you feel less than or that calls your own body type into question, and refollow these body positive accounts and people that are speaking out against this. You know, follow accounts like Girl Powerful, because it exists and it's out there and it's so empowering. And I think that's a big way to help boost confidence that, you know, we didn't have back when we didn't have social media.
We were just naturally blessed to have that not in our lives.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's like, why is it that I'm still following Kylie Jenner and people like that? Just because I'm, you know, I'm curious about their lives, but even though I know their bodies aren't real, it does impact my psyche somewhere in there, you know? So it's up to me. It's up to us to, filter our own feeds and invite in a lot more content and people that build us up.
Yeah. And I think just sometimes asking the simple question, the hard question of like, does this person that I'm following, does she or he inspire, you know, or they inspire or motivate me, to get after that 2.0 version of myself, or am I constantly looking at them with envy and comparison and jealousy?
Yeah.
And even though you know that maybe this person that you're looking to and you have envy and jealousy over, maybe they are doing great things in the world, but you just, it creates more comparison for you and negativity in your own mind than anything else. There's literally no shame in just unfollowing.
Yeah.
And maybe refollowing at some point in life when you feel like you can, but that's okay. And I think that that's one of the greatest ways that we can protect our mental health and sanity and just focus on ourselves, you know? And
we don't have to hate people. Like, I don't have to hate, sorry for keep talking about Kylie Jenner. I don't have to hate her for loving her life and loving her body. I just don't need to consume her content.
Right.
Allow to each their own and create your own cosm of what you want to see that builds you up. So I think that's a great, great point. And I think we can just briefly touch on, and we already kind of have, just low confidence when we were young girls, especially before we called Teddy and Sonia. But it is interesting, kind of like in our recent money episode, how we talked about how our parents' relationship with money and what we saw and heard growing up impacted us in very different ways. The same was true for us growing up confidence-wise. And I think the catalyst for how our confidence developed or our insecurities developed was us moving from England to the US at a young age. I was six when we grew up in England, in the city center of London. We've talked about this in one episode early on, so for newer people joining, this will be news. But yeah, we used to have English accents.
Hello.
Hello. We were watching family videos the other day, and there's this like zoom in scene where the two of us are just snuggling on this tiny couch, and then we both look over at the same time. We're like, hello.
Hello.
Hello. It was so funny. It's just so crazy. We used to, oh, we're sitting on Jess's bed and her dog, Preshy Poo, is.
She liked that phrase. Yeah. Hello.
She liked the hello. She just slapped her tail on the recording device. Hi, girl. But anyway, so we, you know, we're just little English girls, and our parents, they are American. They had lived in Europe for 13 years, and their green cards were up at a certain point. They had to just pick a place, and they had heard Coeur d'Alene, Idaho was beautiful, so they just moved us there.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Although we did love the place initially.
We grew into it, but essentially, yeah, we moved there. Kids, very small town, pretty much just like homogeneous. Everyone was this, you know, no diversity. And city center of London was very different in terms of like what our classrooms look like. Just like a lot of diversity.
Couldn't be more different.
Yeah, people speaking different languages from different countries. So it was a shock to us. And we obviously were made fun of for our accents. I was six, Jess was 10. So I think just for me, I think it's easier at a younger age. It's like, oh, you want to be my friend? Like, let's play on the swings. And for Jess, it was harder. And then briefly, I'll just explain and we'll go back into how that impacted us differently. But then we only lasted in Idaho for 4 years when our parents pretty much immediately when we moved realized,
oh shit,
oh, this wasn't the greatest place for us because the KKK headquarters is right outside of town. And, you know, you might not think that would impact your life, but, you know, our grandfather was descendants of Russian Jews and we got hate mail. Because they figured out our mom's maiden name, just and
crazy.
It just made it all the more real, and it just was not a good fit for our family. Very just conservative small town that wasn't, you know.
Just to kind of defend why they moved there, it was like we had lived in such a big city for so long that they wanted mountains because my mom's an amazing skier, so like to go skiing, and then there was lakes and rivers and so much.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful.
Outdoor activities. And I think that's what we loved as kids was the outdoor activities. But
and I don't want to hate on Coeur d'Alene because it obviously we still know people that live there and yeah. It's beautiful. But it was not for us coming from like a very liberal, busy city to that town and then having that kind of hate mail experience. It just
wasn't right for us. And when I go there and I visit, I'm like, wow, this is absolutely gorgeous. And
yeah,
there's so many, you know, we have so many fond memories, but
we do, but it just was, yeah, it was very evident. And so that's tough as a kid to have to, I mean, there's people that move way more than that, but from England to the US, that's a huge hard move. And then from Idaho, we then moved to Oregon. And that for me was at a more pivotal age. At that point I was 10 and you were 14, 13 mm-hmm. or 14. And that again impacted us differently. At that point, I don't know who wants to go first, kind of how the moves impacted.
Oh, you can go since you already started talking about it.
Since I'm just blabbering away, yeah. I'll make it quick. But basically, you know, that first move wasn't as hard because I was younger, made some friends, still felt like it was always hard to find kind of my people, you know, like I had one really close friend, but otherwise didn't really, I haven't stayed in touch with anybody else except that one friend.
Yeah.
Anna, if you're listening. And then
I love Anna.
I love Anna. And then we moved to Oregon and that was really hard for me because at that point I had buck teeth, 100% overbite.
Bucktooth Bill, which I didn't call you.
They called me Bucktooth Bill at summer camp. It was bad. It was like a really, really bad teeth. And I was tall for my age, so I could never find jeans that fit
super
me.
Super long legs.
So I had like these long legs with always, always high waters and just terrible style. I never knew what to do with my hair. I just felt so ugly. I felt so uncomfortable in my body. I had these long legs and I always had a belly. I feel like I've grown into my body now, but I just for years, I just felt so odd and out of place. And those years were very tough. So, you know, basically moved in fifth grade. I was not good looking. I got bullied a lot by boys and I was the new kid and I got put with a group of girls that they were very, very sweet, but they just weren't my sense of humor, weren't like, we just had very different life experiences. And it was kind of one of those things when you're young where it's like, oh, these girls will be my friend, you know? And
just
and,
anyone who's kind to you yeah. when you feel so out of sorts.
Exactly. Anyone who's kind. And I couldn't really find new friends for like 2 years because when you're new that late in life, people already have their groups. Like so many of those kids had grown up together. So I think that was just, you know, that all did a number on me. And I think I've just still deal with confidence issues because I never, but I also think it was a blessing. I just decided instead, okay, I'm not going to get attention from boys. And it wasn't like, oh, we're making fun of you because we really like you. It wasn't. It was like, you're ugly and why is your name Ryan? And
I was going to say, I feel like your name added another layer of insecurity.
It did. And I hated, I was so mad at my parents for that. And I just, yeah, it was really, really hard years. We both struggled a lot with both of those moves. Yeah. And to sum it up, I think I just decided to focus on school, focus on getting good grades, put my head down and just be kind of a bit of a nerd and
straight A, right boy.
Yeah. I was like obsessed with getting straight A's and I'm grateful for that because I think I ended up in a good, in a strong work ethic, but, and eventually I was able to make the move from the girls that had taken me in when we first moved to Oregon. I moved to a group of girls that are now still my best friends and our sense of humor is so aligned and everything changed in my life at that point. So I was very focused on grades and friendships. And that's how I started developing confidence. But I think I was always a little bit impacted by the emphasis on my teeth, on my looks, on my body, and feeling out of sorts for years and still coming into confidence on that.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you feel like really helped you with like your body confidence in particular?
I think Thomas has helped me a lot, just being like, you're so ridiculous. Like, why are you... why are you feeling so insecure? Mm-hmm. And then in my own body, I think I think it's a daily struggle. But I do think that getting into a really strong, what helps me are strong habits like strength training.
Yeah.
That makes me feel strong and confident.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a reel on this, but like having a confidence routine, you know, taking a shower, getting in clothes that make you feel sexy or bold, doing a hard workout or a strength training, something that actually boosts natural androgen hormone levels, which mm-hmm. does make you more confident, does make you actually stronger.
It's a really good point because a lot of women that we work with Your Hormone Balance have low testosterone, myself included, and that can actually create confidence issues. Like that can make
you... when you have low levels.
Yeah. It can make you feel less secure in who you are, less willing to speak out, less willing to kind of volunteer in like a social setting or at a work setting to say your piece. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. And so we'll want to hear, about your, how that impact, the moves impacted your confidence.
Yeah. I mean, similarly to you, it was very hard when we moved from such a big city. I had so many friends. I felt like I was able to be myself there and was like really quirky and just goofy with my friends.
Where?
In England.
In England.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that I was ever extremely outgoing when I was a kid, but I definitely was able to be myself. And I don't think I considered myself shy when I lived there. And then just moving at that age of 10 to the States, I just remember, I don't know if I would call it bullying, but a lot of just making fun of my accent, asking me, kids quizzing me on pop culture things. Like I always tell the story, the first day at school, this guy was like, do you even know what the Super Bowl is? And I said, a bowling tournament? And then this group of guys started dying laughing and I just turned bright red and ran away and just didn't want to be seen by them ever again. Of course, they were the popular guys and
always.
Yeah.
Just hanging out in a pack.
Oh, yeah. Just
waiting for their prey.
Exactly. It was just so scarring for me. And there was, you know, different comments like that. And there was one time where I stood up and I was giving a presentation in school on monkeys. And I guess the way I said monkey was really funny. So this kid stood up and was like, say monkey again. And I said it, and then again, the whole class started laughing, including the teacher. And I, again, beat red, couldn't even finish my train of thought. So, you know, that was hard. But I would say, to your point, right, yeah, I didn't feel like I could be myself. I felt like no one knew who I was. And then when we moved to Oregon, I was in eighth grade. And at that point, people have really already developed their friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And you're about to go into high school. And I felt like every single person that I knew had already been friends with their friends since kindergarten.
Yeah.
And the girl that led me around on orientation day, I remember her name was Ashley, and she was so sweet and so kind. And I felt like I was mute. I remember that day thinking, aww, I have no personality to her, probably. There's so many things I want to say, but I don't know if you guys have felt this. I literally could not speak. It was like there was something stuck in my throat and I couldn't talk. And that, it felt like that happened for about a year where I just felt like I couldn't talk. And I just wanted to say things and I wanted people to see that I was funny, that I was smart, that I was kind, that I had a lot to offer, and I just couldn't put it out there. And so, but she understood. I think she at heart was a little bit shy, so she took me under her wing, but I didn't realize that all of her friends were the popular girls. And that, you know, of course I hung on to that because I just needed friends, and they were all pretty nice. But what I started to notice was that they'd all stand in these circles at lunchtime and start talking, and I would always get pushed to the outside of the circle. And there was an inner circle, and it was like the inner circle were the actually accepted popular girls, and the outer circle were like, we're not so sure about you. And so I felt like I was just always on the outer circle, and that went into high school as well. And I just felt so outcast, even though people could look at me and be like, oh, she's part of the quote unquote popular group, which is so lame.
Yeah.
That there is even a titled popular group. Let's just get rid of that.
Who decided? Horrible. By the way, it changes from school to school.
Exactly. Popular to who? It's so dumb. And
usually based on looks and who developed earlier in life.
Oh, and probably money, if you're being honest. Oh, the kids that could afford to dress well.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have a lot of money, so I was always, you know, wearing... I always kind of have loved fashion, so I've tried to put things together, but I didn't have a lot of money. I was like cheap shirts, and I always felt like that was one of the reasons why I wasn't as popular, was because I didn't have the designer jeans. I didn't have the straightening iron that everyone was starting to get.
Oh, just God, things
like that. And so that just really took a hit. And there was one sleepover where I fell asleep first and they put toothpaste all over me.
Ugh.
And then there was another time where I fell asleep first and they were all talking shit about me, how I was really nice, but I was way too shy and I just didn't know who. And it's like, that's exactly what I was insecure about. And so I just shut down, you know, I just didn't have any confidence. I also felt super insecure in my body. I just couldn't be myself. So I think that was really the thing that was hardest for me, was just never being able to shine my light. And always just trying to be accepted by people and caring way too much what everybody else thought about me.
Yeah.
And wanting to be accepted by guys. So I feel like that's kind of how I got boy crazy, was like, okay, if I'm not going to be accepted by girls in this popular group and I'm constantly going to have to fight and compare myself to them, maybe I can get attention from guys.
Yep.
And so that's sort of where I started going off campus, meeting guys at like underage dance clubs with my friends, and deciding I don't even want to associate with the guys here at school because they already have the girls that they're into. They already have the track record, whatever. I'm going to go off campus to guys that go to different schools, so I don't have to mess with the popular groups or the status or whoever people think is cool, and who am I going to get made fun of for dating. And so that's a whole nother podcast episode, I think we should go into that. So coming soon.
But just before we end, what would you say are some of the things that have helped you turn it around? And by the way, I hate that my first answer was like, Thomas helped me, because that will never be like true validation in yourself if it comes from somebody else. It's not it. It just helped push me towards like, why are you having these body confidence issues? But it's always challenged you to think about why. Like, why do I think these things about myself? But yes, it's the daily habits and traits and things that I've done myself that have really helped. So what about you?
But it is also really important when you are in a relationship to be with someone who sees you and loves you and recognizes that you're beautiful inside and out and tells you every day and tells you when you're being crazy putting yourself down. So yeah, I think for me, gosh, just to summarize, I wish I could say that it happened quickly, but it didn't. It took so long. Yeah. And I still, even as a health coach, I still have days where I get down on myself.
Yeah.
But I have the tools now where I can bust out of it. So I think, like you said, Rye, the confidence routine, I feel like a little, I guess, on the more superficial route was actually leaning into my body at all the different phases and being like, okay, I'm 40 pounds more than I was, you know, 6 months ago, or I'm 20 pounds more, but I can dress my body type to accentuate the things I'm proud of and to maybe cover up the things that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I did a whole IGTV on this, which you can find on my feed too if you want to talk more about the fashion piece, because it is helpful. But then it was also just, I really believe you are who you surround yourself with. So it was letting go of that popular group and finding some other friends. I just realized that did not help me at all. Even though there was girls in there that I was good friends with, I just every single day didn't feel good. So I changed up my friend group and got with girls that I felt like I could be myself around. And
that's everything.
Been everything to me this whole time is like,
yeah,
if I ever feel like the people that are in my life are toxic or play the comparison game with me or put themselves down way too much, and then I feel like I'm doing the same, it's really, you have to evaluate the type of energy that you surround yourself with and that you're building each other up. And lately I've been super focused on complimenting your friends and seeing, you know, on things other than appearance. We're so much more than just our bodies. And so just learning to, instead of the first thing you always say, being like, oh, you look cute, or you look, you know, commenting on people's bodies, like you look like you've lost weight or whatever it is. I think just trying to be aware and mindful of those compliments. And even though they feel good and I still give them all the time, also just being aware of complimenting people on who they are at their core, because that can help to build confidence in yourself and in other people.
Definitely. And last thing I'll say, I think a hint for me when I'm with the wrong people is when I just feel like I'm not funny. I mean, not that I need to be like funny to everybody, but I mean like with good friends. If I'm like, oh, literally nothing I say is funny to you, and what you say isn't really funny to me, it's like we have different senses of humor. And I've realized that later in life in some like college period friendships and things where it's just like, there's nothing wrong with me and there's nothing wrong with them. We just like, just keep trying with people until you hit it. Like,
I know it's easier said than done. I completely agree with that. And I think I recognize it that, but also if I start to feel social anxiety, which I do feel around people that I don't understand why I feel that way, because we've had multiple hangouts and I shouldn't feel that
intuition.
Way.
Intuition.
Yeah, but it's just like I don't feel like I'm cool enough, or I don't feel like the conversation flows enough, or I get a vulnerability hangover, or I feel like I'm talking too much. And those are kind of signs for me if like I feel like I'm blabbering or I don't know. But yeah, I think it's definitely a gut feeling.
Absolutely. Well, so much more on this topic.
Yeah.
We are literally running late to call our favorite sisters, Teddy and Sonia. Well, they're about to be our favorite because we know we love them just from the conversations we've had online. But yes, we're going to pause and we're going to call them on Skype.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, everybody.
We're here.
Hey. There we go.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. How are you two?
Good. We're so glad you called.
We are so looking forward to it.
Yes.
Sister on sister chat.
Yes.
These are the best.
Yes.
And no, and I'm so excited that you guys are podcasting now too. And I feel like you're already light years ahead of us, actually.
I don't know. We're all friends here.
We're all figuring
we're
it
all
out.
We're all here to help each other.
Yes, definitely. And boost each other's confidence because we need it.
We need it.
Boost into outer space.
Whoa, hey, chill. That was a little much. Her chest was like bouncing up and down, like she was on a roller coaster.
Yeah. I know. I wish we had the video on.
I know.
No, I've never even moved like that. You bring out the best in me.
You're hyped. And that's the vibe we're trying to give off in this episode. So we'll tell you what we were chatting about. We were kind of going deep into our past, exploring, or, you know, knowing that you two, the work that you do, and that you are so focused on helping young girls gain greater confidence and really step into their power and sense of self as young adults. We just really wanted to focus this conversation around developing confidence and why it is that we all, as young girls, tend to have these insecurities. So anyway, we started our conversation going way back to our upbringing, living in England, then moving to Idaho at a young age, and then moving again to Oregon, and just being the weird, ugly, awkward, uncomfortable, like that's how we felt, girls. Mm-hmm. And each developing differently in that way. I was a bit younger. Jess is older, so she had to deal with a lot of the popular kids. I kind of fell into the nerdy world. and just how that changed the rest of our life. And it's so interesting. And so we, you know, in exploring that for ourselves, we'd love to just start there with both of you and kind of take you back to have you take us back to those early experiences that kind of were the catalyst for insecurities and where, how you built confidence from there.
Yeah, I'd love to share. So Teddy and I actually have a semi-similar story. We were from California and we moved and relocated to Missouri.
Southern Missouri,
which there's a difference mm-hmm. from Northern Missouri, but it was in elementary school, but still it was like we showed up and we're these California girls. We wear different clothes. You know, you have different music mm-hmm. and you're just an outsider. And so where there's areas where people aren't as open-minded and they aren't as accepting, for me, it was really hard. And growing up, every time, like for the summers or for Christmas, we'd go back to California to spend time with our other half of our family. We would get to go like shopping on Melrose and go get our school clothes. And our friends who were still in California were like, you know, listening to all the good music. So then we'd come back and it was like people were like, they thought we were either stuck up, that was for me, mm-hmm. or like, different.
They name call you, you know, and like it seems innocent to be like, hey, California, but it's like, that's like some version of an insult to them where you're like, I'll gladly take it, yeah. You know, but when you're 8 and 9, 10 and 11, you don't want to be different. That's how you find, you know, your friend group and your self-esteem is like feeling like you fit in. You definitely don't want to be called out for being different.
Exactly.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I was literally the tallest girl in the class, not just the tallest girl. And I remember I grew from the summer over my 7th grade to 8th grade. I grew and I got boobs.
Woo! Boobies!
It was like the conversation kind of turned to like, Sonia's quiet. She's a brat. She's stuck up to Sonia's so tall. And are her boobs, does she stuff her bra? Well, you know, like even though like I laugh at it now, I had this internal dialogue of like, what's going on? I feel so insecure. I'm not confident with myself because everyone's constantly pointing out how different I am.
Yeah. And those are wounds that you take forever with you until, you know, you end up in therapy after a crazy night when you're 27 and you just have to work through it. And that's why we like start a girl powerful. Cause we're like, what if we could have avoided some of this pain? And in the moment when someone did say something that is triggering or would leave a long-term wound, what if we like actually had the tools to process it right there?
Yeah. I always think that. I just feel what you said before, but you just don't want to be different. And my name was Ryan. I was taller. You know, we had accents and all of those things. Now that it's like, oh, your name is Ryan, so unique. And oh, you have English. Why didn't you keep your English accent? It's like, because kids were mean and wanted to get rid of anything that was different. And now you realize just being how wonderful being different and unique is. But
I was the same way though. Like Teddy is like a boy name essentially, they think. It's not. It's Theodora. That's a girl name. And I was put on boy baseball teams because they just looked at my name and would put me in like a boys club. And then I'd show up and I was actually really good at baseball. But it's like, I don't want to be playing baseball. I want to play softball with my friends. But I didn't have the voice to be like, I am so uncomfortable. I'm a girl. Like, you know, like I was 10. I didn't know what to do with that. And my mom had probably just dropped me off. So I had to fend for myself. And that's just a wild experience to be a girl on a boys like
baseball team.
You stuck with it. So they didn't take you off the team once they found out.
They didn't take me off.
It was really cute though, because I would go watch all of her games and they all adored Teddy. But like they'd all cheer her on. They all accepted her. Like,
they were nice. They were nice, luckily.
Yeah.
But it made me feel really strange to be like, what in the world? Why are they putting a little girl on a boys team?
Yeah.
I wonder.
You're like, okay, I guess I'll still play.
I'm like, okay, I can hit the ball farther than all of you losers.
Right? That's why they kept you. They're like,
Yeah, they're like, she can hit them home. We'll keep her.
And I do have a mini mustache.
Yeah, and I have a mini mustache, and I like to wear a big puffy Nike coat. So maybe I look like a boy. Who knows?
Oh my God, I love it.
Thanks, Sonia. Sonia's throwing out the sister hate about the mustache.
It's perfect. It paints that picture for us all. Yep. I was there with my high waters and my little belly hanging out.
How about Marla Hooch from League of Their Own? That was pretty much me.
Well, that choker necklaces. I remember wearing like the puka shell choker.
But that was cool.
No, I mean, it was supposed to be cool, but I remember I had one that had like a giant flower on it. And of course, it's crazy how one comment, I remember there was a boy that I kind of liked, and this was in high school, who looked at me and was like, just so you know, every time you talk, your flower moves up and down and it's really distracting. And was honestly so taken aback by that I couldn't say anything, and I never talked to him again. I felt so embarrassed by that one stupid little compliment. And it's like things that I don't think that especially boys at that age realize the impact that their comments on a woman's appearance, like outward appearance, how that impacts them in the long run, in the long term. Because I remember now, and that was a million years ago.
Yeah. I can only... Oh, we're getting a little dog to dog.
Are the dogs talking? They're like, we want to be famous too.
Like, don't put our girls down.
That's so
protecting us.
So on that note though, we know you work so much with young girls, and we want to talk about specifically how you help them with building stronger self-esteem, but do you work with young boys as well? Because that really is such a root cause of a lot of insecurity.
No, we strictly work with girls, and we found through social and emotional learning that all children, they build self-esteem by feeling accepted, liked, and loved by adults. And usually it's an adult outside of the home, like a mentor or a teacher or a coach. So I feel like guys do have that support system, but what we're trying to do is teach girls how to react in that moment. Like if the guy did say, oh, you know, your necklace is wiggling, I can't, you know, it's distracting me, and that you don't know what to say. It's more like we're teaching girls how to process, like, I love this necklace, like, or, you know, like, think about, like, that comment's just a throwaway comment, and I don't think he meant to hurt me, and move on with your day, you know? Yeah.
And that was a silly question for me even to ask, because it's obviously so impactful to zero in and focus in on girls, but obviously the work you're doing encompasses that. Yeah. Helping them process those comments.
And we grew up with a single mom, and we always connected with mentors outside our home, whether it was a friend's mom or a teacher. And we just know that the girls need this guidance. And so that's
in a different way. Just because girls' puberty is so much different than a boy's, and you know, they're growing breast buds and they have a period and all these things. And maybe if they're Teddy Surge, they had a mustache growing in. And it's like your peers look at you differently. Like Sonia mentioned before, like that's not ignored. Like you walk into school, and remember when you would have your period and you'd like wrap your sweatshirt around your waist, or like if you did have boobs, like you were like trying to tape them down or like hide away from becoming a woman. And that's also part of Girl Powerful, is like normalizing that all of us are going through these things, and to find a safe place to actually talk through this, especially when it is sometimes hard to talk to your parents. So we're kind of just like the fun older sister is our vibe, or like someone called us their Southern aunts the other day, and Sonia and I looked at each other like, well, that was weird, but okay.
No, and also this is making me think of my teen years, how every other adult, like a parent, would be like, oh, Sonia, you're so pretty, or oh, you have such long legs. Not very many people or adults were saying, Sonia, you're so smart. Sonia, you're so good at, you know, being a good friend. You're so, you know, they weren't celebrating my strengths and my accomplishments.
It's all about looks.
It's all about your appearance and what you look like from the outsider.
Yeah. And as a boy, they're like, hey, Brad's the best soccer player we know.
Yeah.
Or yeah, Jonathan, he's going to make varsity, but the girls are pretty.
Right.
Like, so we're just trying to combat all of the past. And like, luckily we have some of the media on our side in the past couple years, you know, bringing light to the dark ages, essentially, of only valuing women for their looks and what they bring to the table, or AKA the dinner table.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually something that we touched on in our intro, was just, I think something that's been really powerful in my own life, even recently, is becoming really attuned to how often you compliment your girlfriends on how they look versus who they are on the inside, you know, because we surround ourselves with incredible, amazing women. And so much of the time when we see each other, the first thing we say is, oh my gosh, I love your shorts, or like, you look so hot today, or dang, did you lose weight? You know, we're commenting on other people's bodies and outward appearance. And that can sometimes, even if it's well-intentioned, it can sometimes also be triggering. So I think it's also just kind of, yes, it's nice to pay your friends compliments outwardly, but also to be aware of, okay, what are they working on right now that, you know, maybe has been a struggle for them? Like, what might they really need to hear that would help them in the moment? I think starting that from a very young age is really important. So I'm curious how you sort of help your girls to take the attention away just so much from the physical and put it more inward for themselves, but also for the people that they surround themselves with.
So everything we do at Girl Powerful is based on feelings. So we give the girls the safe space to come together to meet with us. Right now we're all virtual, and share their feelings, be really vulnerable, and know that they can share what they're actually going through in that moment. Because a lot of girls are like, I can't tell my mom the truth, the whole truth, you know, nothing but the truth. They want to share it with us, and they feel like they can with us. And we'll guide them, and we'll give them self-reflective activities. So that's what we do at Girl Powerful. We actually have three different tools, which is the Girl Powerful Journal. And it's an interactive journal to spark your personal strength and confidence. So this is our actual social and emotional learning curriculum Teddy and I wrote. So it's all original, and there's 40 pages of worksheets. So we talk about risk-taking and dreaming and being a goal crusher. We do little prompts. So like at the end of the journal, we want to flex their self-love muscles. So we call it like the flex zone. And we're like, what would you do next with different scenarios? It's super fun. We have like this or that. We talk about making healthy choices and creating your own core values as an individual that you'll most likely carry throughout your whole life, because usually those don't really change.
Yeah, what we see with our girls in our classes is once one person has the brave enough to share and actually give a solid answer that is like longer than one sentence, then it's just a huge ripple effect. Like everyone's like, oh, she's being honest and authentic and vulnerable. I gladly will share that today wasn't good. You know, I didn't pass my test or whatever they're working on. And it's a beautiful thing to have girls come together. And something extra special about Girl Powerful is that half of the seats in our class are given to underserved girls. So we have girls that, you know, live in mansions in Brentwood, and then they're in class with some other girl that doesn't, you know, have anything. She probably is literally struggling to have dinner on the table with her family. So,
but we're providing the same emotional education.
And they learn from each other and love each other. And obviously they can see what their bedrooms look like, so you could kind of piece together what you might think was going on. But they're not busy doing that. Like, we're all talking. It's our big heads on the screen. And honestly, the most beautiful things I've ever heard has come from an underserved girl. And that's the truth. Don't you feel the same way, Sonia?
Yeah.
I mean,
they really value what they have.
And their families, like whatever families their family unit looks like, that means so much to them. And like, just those are the beautiful things about life that a lot of people forget, is like the basics, like a shelter and water and food. And I think that that's why it's important for us when we do work with our elite clients, that they take a step back and they learn gratitude so they can be humble, healthy adults.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're providing an experience for these girls that is, and especially during this pandemic, if you're doing it virtually, well, in general too, you're getting girls together from all backgrounds, even before this, but giving the opportunity to have people confront people from, or not confront, but be face to face with people from all different backgrounds. And, you know, when I think back on like growing up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and it's just like, not growing up there, we only lived there for 4 years, but it's like this super.
You are not letting Coeur d'Alene take like, your childhood.
Oh no, I am not an Idahoan.
I never know what to say when people are like, where did you grow up? It's a mixed bag. But yeah, it was just like a very white school. And, you know, pretty conservative small town. And it was very hard going from London to that too, and just always craving more diversity and more. And so it warms my heart so much to hear what you guys are doing and connecting everybody to just be like, we're all on the same level, having these same similar insecurities, concerns, and we can lean on each other. And God, how beautiful is that right now when it just feels like we're all divided on everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so important that the girls have a place where there's an adult teacher in the room, like Sonia or I, because you can have some of these fun conversations like at a lunch table when lunch existed. But that's also where, like, I remember a lot of like weird comments would happen. Like, I remember lying and saying like my mom was going to vote for George Bush because we were like the only Democrats in Springfield, Missouri. And just because I wanted to fit in. And I was like, you know, if we weren't at just like free range at lunch and all these like open times to let kids be, you know, just they're experimenting, I think, too. Like boys, they like to push boundaries and I just love the idea that there's going to be thousands of girls that have gone through Girl Powerful that actually have a voice and a backbone to be like, you know what? Like, not, it's not me. Like, you can go do that to someone else. It's not for me, you know, not have that. Yeah. Have that wound just dug in deep, like forever and ever. Like, let's avoid it. 'Cause we can. And those boys, like if someone said, hey man, like stop, that's going to change his whole life and redirect him too. He's going to think, he's not just going to blow that off.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think girls are teachers. We are nurturers. We are caretakers. And that isn't just an adult woman. Like the girls can teach the boys, right?
Yeah.
Not that it's their job, but they will, because that's just how we're wired.
By projecting that confidence. It's like, you can't do this to me. You're not belittling me. Mm-hmm. I'm on your level, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think back to being on the playground, I don't know if you ladies experienced this, but getting chosen for that game, Red Rover, and it's like, Red Rover, send Jess over. And yeah. I felt like I was just waiting to hear my name. I'm like, I'm next. And never, like, it was like that feeling of just always getting picked last for sports teams or anything that was in a group setting. And as much as I loved that game, I was sweating. I was anxious. I didn't want to look unpopular. And I feel like a situation like that, I obviously still remember. I think anybody who got picked last for sports teams remembers it. And that, when you really go back and you look at those experiences that could actually be considered traumas, how did that impact your life? Oh, well, maybe you never, you know, tried out for sports teams because you just assumed that you weren't athletic because no one picked you. You know, maybe people made fun of your sports abilities, so you quit the tennis team when in your heart of hearts you wanted to be a pro tennis player, you know, and how did that impact the trajectory of your life? And I think something that's so small sounding on the exterior is actually incredibly profound, how, you know, it completely changes your life. So I'm wondering, in situations like that, how would you encourage somebody to, you know, speak out, you know, for themselves in that type of situation, or to, you know, go inward, or to join a circle like this, to really understand and step in, you know, that is available to them, even despite what they say.
So those things you're mentioning, like not being picked for a team, or someone, you know, you're walking into school and someone just drops the door on you and they don't hold it, or you see a friend and you think it's your friend and they don't say hi, those are called ruptures. And unless you like address them in the moment, they become wounds. And so that's how, like, we're trying to avoid internalizing all these things. And girls just, we really are really lean into mantra and I am statements. I think that's the most powerful thing you can do to redirect your mood and your mind and reset yourself. And you have control of how you talk to yourself. So like, they maybe didn't pick you and they didn't make you feel worthy, but how can you make yourself feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's why we actually made our second Girl Powerful product, which is the Girl Powerful Affirmation Deck. And it's a lot of fun because we realized, girls, that, you know, the person you have the biggest conversation and the most frequent conversations with is yourself. So when we stand in front of the mirror every morning, or we're laying in bed and we're thinking about, oh, am I going to dread getting up, or am I going to tackle the day and, you know, like, use it to my advantage? So we're like, we need to change the way girls are talking to themselves at an early age. So that's why we developed the Girl Powerful Affirmation Deck. And it's 64 prompts. So like, this says, my thoughts are crystal clear. Identify 2 short-term goals you will accomplish this month. Or, I am grounded. Take off your shoes, push your toes into the ground. Imagine that the earth underneath your feet is telling you, I will always support you. Mm. So if you do have these, you know, these scary moments of fear or anxiety or feeling alone or disliked, hopefully, if you do this type of positive self-talk, you can come back to an affirmation that will support you in that moment. You know, like, I am worthy. I'm worthy of being picked, or I am athletic.
I agree, Jess, though, that game, because I was always tall and big. So I was like, they're like, she's going to break our arms. If we call. Teddy's going to break this chain. This rover is over. He comes over here. But I mean,
it's like these huge things. It's like we talk about it a lot, is these comments that you don't think are going to affect people are magnified in other people's brains. And everyone has these types of comments that they'll remember forever. So that's when you have to meet your inner child when you're an adult. If you couldn't process it then, which most of us did not have mental health resources at, you know, when we were growing up. So it's like, the time is now. We need to meet our inner child when we were wounded and know that we are not wrong and we are not bad for having those experiences. But it, you know, to meet yourself and do the self work, we unlock our natural gifts, and that's what's going to give us feel like free of that, feel unchained from that, and just go forward to a more positive and limitless future.
Yeah, amen.
I do too. And I think, you know, something that I've actually noticed in health coaching, not even intending to do, you know, necessarily inner child work with clients, is that, you know, specifically I work with a lot of clients who want to break free from restrictive dieting or hating their bodies, you know, and just feel good in their own skin. And so a lot of the times I ask, you know, was there someone in your life that was maybe super critical of you when you were young, or, you know, just asking questions like that. And a lot of times they will have thought about something that happened when they were young that they didn't even think about until that moment when I asked. And it's like, actually, yeah, my mom used to always make comments about what I ate, or was always asking if I had lost weight, or she was always on some diet and making me do it with her. And I didn't even realize until now how much that impacted me. And, you know, a lot of my clients have started crying because it's so deep and so powerful, and it brings up so many feelings. And as scary as it is, I think it's also really beautiful, because that's the point at which you realize, okay, there's a root, you know, there's past traumas and things that I haven't worked through. And so to open that up can be really terrifying. So how do you sort of support those women when they do the inner child work, when they do the inner child work? Like, how does one go about that and have the support systems to feel comfortable opening up? Because to your point earlier, maybe you know, come from an underserved community and you don't have a lot of support or anyone who's going to ask you how you are.
Right. Well, that's what Girl Powerful means, is that, you know, the power is inside of you. So anything you're seeking, the answer is inside. And it's like really cool that we could even like talk to a kid like that. And like, you know, and so everything we do is prevention. Like, we truly lean into that. Like, our whole background before Girl Powerful was being a lifeguard, or I actually spent 17 years watching after school programs. Like, right when I graduated from it, I was the one that was like, hey, let's not do that, because, you know, you're going to break your arm. So we've always been into prevention, and that, like, it used to be like our foundation was like in a physical way, and now it's in an emotional way. And the best thing for anyone to do, that's because I feel like we're talking to adults here mostly, is that if we could all just tune into like those childlike feelings of enthusiasm and curiosity and creativity, then you're going to start healing your inner girl and your inner child subconsciously, and without too much, you know, like ripping them open in a therapy session, and then you have to put them back together and say, it's time for you to go, you know? So I feel like that's the best thing to do, is really, like I said, lean into creativity and curiosity. And because that's going to guide you and back to a place of youth. And that's what we all connect to. And that's when we were our best selves. And that was when we were all happy, like before all these comments that, you know, could have been throwaway comments, because that's when we accidentally gave our power to someone else.
Right. And how incredible that the tools that are most effective are these free tools, pen and paper, asking yourself questions, affirmations, like you said, grounding your feet in nature, or just sitting and having a moment of meditation. It's available to everybody. And yeah, as we were talking about before we called you, you know, when you're young, you get caught up in, oh, I can't be popular because I don't have the money for those clothes, or, you know, it's all externally focused. And so it's, you are meeting these girls, catching them at that time in life and being like, no, those things don't matter. Mm-hmm. It's the intrinsic rewards that will really fuel you for the rest of your life. And I know for me, being such a journaler, writer, I still to this day ask myself questions on paper. What is feeling good this week? What is coming up for me? And it's like, it's crazy how you just start writing and then you look back and you've taught yourself something that you didn't even know you were going through, and you learned yourself.
I know. We love journaling. That's a really great tool. And again, like you're mentioning, these are free things that anyone can do. And the best part about journaling that we get to talk to girls about is being honest, because I know I used to like write some sort of whimsical fairy tale about how my day was awesome eating a Subway sandwich and like going to the White House and thinking that the fence isn't too tall, which obviously these Capitol people realize that too. But anyway, my diary used to be just like, I always thought if someone finds this when I'm dead, I don't want to be embarrassed. So I wasn't saying anything emotional. It was all surface stuff. And so I definitely had to relearn how to actually be honest and do real brain dumps. And like for every positive thing that happens in my life, be real and write down a negative, and like then I can work through it. And those are things that we do with the girls. Like we do two positives and one negative, so we can always keep it, you know, on the sunny side of the street. But
and you probably finally learned to trust me that I wasn't going to yeah. read your journal.
Yeah, my door didn't have a lock.
Were you two always really close?
Oh, yeah. We've always been best friends. Our mom was at work. So, yeah, we had each other. And that's where this bond comes from. We were together. Now, I'm two years older than Sonia. Okay. And so we went through school together. We shared friends, you know.
Oh, wow. Really close.
Yeah. We are close.
Yeah. Great. We've always been. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you guys have had your tests. We've had our moments, but we've always been super, super close. And not having that sister bond, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Not having Rye, because we help each other through so many hard times. And when we are getting in our heads or we're feeling insecure, I feel like Rye is always the first person that I talk to. And we're able to help each other work through so much. And so I can imagine not having that support, not having a sibling, not even having a best friend, and then maybe living in an abusive, sort of toxic home environment where maybe your parents are fighting all the time or you're raised by one person, you know. And so having a community like Girl Powerful is, just like
crucial.
The name says, so powerful and yeah, crucial. So,
yeah, I love that. I mean, a lot of girls I feel like are just new family units, since life is so expensive and people and women are really digging into their careers. I think that there's going to be a lot of families with just one child. And so they definitely, I think forming communities is so important for the kid to feel seen, valued, and heard outside of the home. So their self-esteem can be built, because parents have a lot on their plates, and I mean, I will show them grace, but I also really hold parents accountable. It's like, this was your choice, you know, like you need to find all the tools to support your child so they don't have to spend, you know, their 20s and 30s crying to a therapist. Like it's, I don't think it's really fair. And I mean, I mean, that's how I've lived my life. I wasn't going to just have a kid with somebody because that's what all my friends from Southern Missouri decided to do. Like, it's just, I didn't think it was right, because I want to do that when I can fully support another human in their emotional journey. And I hope that people can like kind of zoom out, especially after this pandemic, and be like, am I ready for that? Do I have all the monetary funds I need for that? Do I have the healthy food I need for them? Like, you know, it's a very big conversation that I hope people, when they are looking at being a parent, realize it's like a commitment. It's at least 18 years. It's at least 18 years, you guys.
Yeah. And I get upset. Like, I know this is a hot button issue, but you know, there's so much focus on abortion, if it's right or if it's wrong, but we don't focus on like, are parents ready to have children? We, mm-hmm. you know, we just want people to just be able to have babies whenever they want, but so many people are not equipped to be parents yet. And then what does that do?
I agree. I think, why aren't we tested on that? Like,
yeah.
I have to go get a driver's license. How about a parenting test? Just like the basics.
That is so true.
What is more important than raising a child
and a whole course in school?
Yeah. And like, I like I said, I know it's a hard job, but most of the time you're signing yourself up for that. So, hey, maybe don't sign yourself up yet.
Yeah, but it's also like you are kind of the product sometimes of who raised you. So if you were born into a big family that had a ton of kids, and like it was just kind of expected that you would have kids and, you know, having children. I mean, I just talked to a best friend of mine who thought she would have 2, 3, 4 kids because her mom came from six siblings. Her dad came from seven siblings. She had four siblings. They've all had multiple kids. And she's just now realized that she and her husband only want one child, and they're really happy just having one child. But she had put so much pressure on herself to have multiples. And I think a lot of it comes from the pressure that you feel from your family and the way that you were raised and just what you saw. So even though maybe you aren't ready and you're not equipped, you know, you do it anyway. And then you don't have the tools either.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a band-aid also, like to feel valued in your family unit or from your peer group. And like we share some of the same friends and they're starting to have babies. And I love myself enough to know that's not the right thing for me. But I have a feeling some other women are looking at them thinking, oh my gosh, wait, am I going to do that now? And I don't know that it's what they really wanted, but it might be a version of this whole motherhood competition thing that we've all seen can be super toxic too. Like my baby walked first.
Right. I know. It's interesting because kind of what we're talking about here is like these, it's a mirror of the issues we have as tweens of wanting to do what others, what the popular girls are doing and what's in. And then it's still happening now. You know, yeah, fears around, am I too late to the game? I need to get married. You know, I've been with my fiance for almost 11 years. We haven't gotten married yet. We've been engaged for 3 years and we're just having the time of our lives doing things our way. And I think like, I'm just loving life, writing my own rules and not worrying what society says, you know, and that should apply across the board. And I think when you learn younger and earlier in life, that will serve you so well. But even so many women probably listening need this reminder too, of just like, put your damn blinders on and stop thinking about what other people are doing, what other people expect of you, write your own rules and do your thing, you know? And side rant from that, but for both of you, you know, we heard about your upbringing, but Teddy, like Sonia, I'm just meeting you today, but I feel like I've known you before, but Teddy, when I first met you and always, you're so confident and you seem so comfortable in your personality. And that's something that women still our age struggle with. And so I would love to know for both of you or whoever wants to answer how you got from that place, being younger and feeling out of sorts to really stepping into such confidence today.
Yeah, I do think what you said, though, really quickly about putting blinders on and just doing your thing, that is confidence. And that is hard. That is hard. And that is very brave to do. But that's really when you're going to like be in the flow of your own journey and find true joy. And that's how I feel that I have maneuvered. I had to stop comparing my life and comparing what I have and what I don't have to everyone around me. Because in Los Angeles, that is like just the fastest way to get down on yourself, because there's always going to be prettier people, skinnier people, richer people, girls with hotter boyfriends, you know, like all these things. And it's just like, I was like, I can't do this to myself anymore because I'm becoming a total brat and I'm just becoming unhappy. And that's not really how I'm wired. Luckily, I'm like wired as like a happy person and maybe overconfident at sometimes.
And like,
yeah, Sonia's like, humble yourself, humble yourself.
No, this conversation's amazing and it's making me think back on whenever there'd be women or teachers in my life that walked into the room and everyone noticed them, or they walked into the room and they just had this bright energy and aura. And I'm thinking right now of my art teacher, Mrs. Hoke, and she was so badass. Like we're in Missouri.
She really was.
She like had her cart. She'd come in. She had this beautiful, like curly blonde hair. She'd always have cool jewelry on. She was just always, you know, like always had the most open heart to help anybody. And that's what I feel like I wanted to embody from a young age, is like when you walk into the room, people look at you, not because you're physically beautiful, but because you're so confident and your energy is so bright that people are just drawn to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doing that, it takes work and it takes you looking at the self and being like, how can I be happy? And it sounds so cliche when you say you have to find what makes you happy and you have to do what you're passionate about. But when you look at the people who are chasing their dreams and being passionate, they're the ones who you're like, oh, wait, what are you doing? You're interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I find you awesome and I'm drawn to you, but that's just because you're being authentic and you're just.
Yeah. And they don't have time to compare themselves and get down because they're on the highway and other people, they got lost in a detour somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm just get on the highway and take control of yourself, control your life. You are in the driver's seat. I think it's so important. There's so many free tools on the internet and beyond, and just talking to people in your community and getting your hands dirty, help other people. That always helps you heal and feel connected by volunteering and being part of something bigger than yourself. And never forget where you came from. Yeah. I think that's a big thing, especially in big cities. Everyone's like, well, I want to, be better than my parents. I want to have this. I want to have that. It's like, of course, have the biggest, best goals and live out your destiny. But remember, there's people out there that don't have, this really fiery, strong side of themselves because they have been hurt, and you have to lift them up too.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I did want to share because we are adults and we do have the chance to heal. And maybe someone listening hasn't really claimed that yet, that you do have the chance to heal yourself. And it's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
You can go after that profession you want at 35. You can do whatever and you can start whenever. And I love the Beaming Design Instagram. Have you seen that?
No.
It's this woman and she takes quotes and then she makes her own artwork with it. But today it's in line with our topic. It says, be the kid you once were. And there's examples of how you can do that, which I think is a great reminder. So I wanted to share them. Is that cool?
Yes.
Yeah. It says, be the kid you once were. Be wanting to start the day, not dreading it. Be fearless. Be excited about everything. Be honest. Be spontaneous. Have no concept of time.
Mm.
Be loving. Be in awe of the world. And be full of light.
Beautiful. One thing that just brought up for me too is just the reminder, I think, so often when we talk about finding your voice, finding that confidence, but to your point earlier, how do people find that who haven't been given the tools or, never been taught at home and still today in their older adult years still don't quite know where that inner voice is or how to find it? I think so much of it is in those quiet moments there's so much noise, there's so much distraction on social media, which was something we wanted to ask about too. There's so many places to divert your mind and to just feel overwhelmed. And so again, just that reminder to get back to those moments of quiet and calm and writing, journaling, affirmations to just zero in on what is best for you.
Mm-hmm. I think the best thing that for someone who doesn't know where to start, because it can be overwhelming, people have really low self-esteem and they don't think they deserve love. So what they can do to start is the most simple thing is to write a I am statement in their journal. I am powerful. And then write 5 non-appearance based things that you love about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we found so many people, they can't do it, but you have to push yourself. In the Girl Powerful Journal, we have a word bank for the girls who are like, I don't know, mm-hmm. I can't think of it. But then you look at these lists of words and you're like, oh, I am, proud of myself. I
am intelligent.
Yeah, I shine.
I'm a leader.
I'm trustworthy.
I'm a quality person. I'm reliable.
Yeah.
I love those things. Those are things that we all need to really realize that are so positive. And if you do embody being compassionate and positive and polite and strong, you already are on your way. Anyone that's alive is you already are enough just as you are. But it's as coaches and teachers and leaders, we just want everyone to feel the same way we do about ourselves. And we can walk confidently into a room and make a new friend like I did with you, Ryan. That's just what we want. That's our wish for the world is don't hide anymore. Just come on out. Come on out.
Yeah. Something else too that's really helpful, I think, I love the non-appearance based compliments, but is also writing down things that you've overcome in your life to remind yourself how strong you are and how resilient and how, wow, I have been through so much and I'm still here and I'm showing up for myself and I'm putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes there are days where I can't get out of bed and that are really hard, but I'm still here. And I mean, I've done it for myself and I've forgotten so many of the things that I've overcome as a kid or even an adult.
Even and just think, in your week and your month,
yeah.
There's things that you're constantly hurdles and challenges that you work through.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love that. I feel like for me, I have a very different mind than Teddy and I'm kind of repetitive. So even though like, it's like things circle back if I don't take care of them. So it's like, yeah, we had a deadbeat dad. I let that be my like hurt for so long, or I had a really bad injury and I was like, mentally, I was like, I felt worthless. But then it's like, when's the one day you have to decide for yourself, I'm not going to let this be my story anymore. Mm-hmm. Yes, it happened. It was a part of my defining moments of life. But there has to be one day where you say, okay, that's enough with this storyline. Like, I need to take action to change it and to be, you know, celebrate what's happening.
Absolutely. In the future. Change the channel in your mind.
Change the channel, yes.
I think the best way to change the channel is short-term goals, especially mm-hmm. with like the pandemic and you never know what's going to be going on next week. So it's like if you write like something you accomplished last week on a Monday and then something you're looking forward to accomplishing by the end of this coming week, that can really propel you forward and be like the encouragement you need. Because that's probably something that you can do for yourself, you know? Yeah. And then I was just kind of thinking about like positive mindset and manifesting while we were talking through all this and thinking about how far I've come in the last year is what really thought made me think that I just wanted a big, nice apartment with an island. And now that I'm sitting here talking to you, I have a big, nice apartment with an island. So, like, I'm proud of myself for figuring that out. You know, like, yeah. It doesn't always have to be like these huge, grand things, even though living in a nice place is a big, grand thing. But yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I have to find gratitude for like where I am right now. So then more of that flows to me because I deserve that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I all of that is just so, I feel like we could just talk forever and ever.
Yeah,
on this topic. One other point I wanted to make too that I think is helpful is also not saying phrases that you don't want to create more of. So just like in my business saying like, I'm an emotional eater, you know, or I'm unintelligent, I'm not smart, whatever you're saying about yourself, the more that you say it, the more that your subconscious brain wants to manifest more of that thing. And I think that's why, to your point of the positive affirmations, that's one of the biggest motivators to making sure that you're doing that more often than you are associating yourself with something that you don't want to be, that doesn't define you. Just because you were raised a certain way or because society says that's what you are, you're not.
Yep. Those limiting beliefs belong in the garbage can, not in your head.
Yes.
I think the change the channel thing is a good thing to remember. I saw a therapist like 2 years ago who I was trying to get help with body confidence issues, and she gave me terrible advice. And I didn't return, but the one thing she did say was, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you have a mean thought, just catch yourself, be so aware every time, because I think we are so used to normalizing those mean thoughts. They're normal in our head, like, oh, look away, or you don't look great, or whatever, but just starting to be super aware and catching yourself and changing the channel in that moment to flipping it to a positive.
Yeah.
You're so strong, you know, your legs get you from A to B, whatever it is, but just starting to
I think that goes into what you wanted to end on is social media.
Yes.
Yeah, let's end there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. How we do see that the rates for depression and God, so horrible suicide are increasing among specifically the tween generation. And we're pairing that with social media being on the rise and everyone's a celebrity and girls think maybe that's the path for them. So how are you seeing that impacting the girls you're working with, and how can we, all of us, older women too, help these younger girls, but also help ourselves work through not getting caught up in all of that?
Well, last summer, Teddy and I got a TikTok account and we got caught up in it.
Yeah, we're guilty too.
We are so guilty. It was so toxic. But we believe that social media is good for sharing information. So that's why we decided, when we did, you know, make our TikTok account, to be able to reach the girls in our age group, we would put out positive content. So it's either teaching them how to make an affirmation, or asking them to put three things they love about themselves in the comments, or doing like nutritional snacks they could have after school. We started doing that, but we see it all the time. The girls, we have Girl Powerful ambassadors, and the minute they post a video, they're on there like all night long being like, did you see, I got, you know, over 1,000, our video went viral. And it's this thing, because, you know, every time they get an alert or every time they see themselves go viral, it's like a hit of dopamine, and they're becoming more and more addicted, which is a major problem. And then they're comparing themselves with their classmates. We're like, oh, we hope this isn't creating a big problem, you know, other areas of their life, not just at Girl Powerful, because they do have this platform to share and be seen and have this social currency of like, hey, look, I'm on a verified account, and but they have clout.
It's so funny, because at the end of the day, it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and like, I've been guilty of that too. I'm like, why does like a nice quote only get 100 likes? And if I'm in my bathing suit, I get 500. It's the same following. And it's just like, why? That's just society and what they place, you know, value on. And that's exactly what we're all trying to equalize a little bit. I think bodies are beautiful. And I think if you feel hot and you look good, whatever your body looks like, share it. If that's what you truly want to be doing.
If you're old enough, because girls don't understand. Yeah. We've had girls who we've given permission to be on our platform. And they don't understand, if you're in a crop top or you're in your bikini top, it might be innocent to you because you're just having fun doing a dance. But there are so many eyes on you that, you know, that are dangerous, that could try to contact you, that are just perverted.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, like, they don't understand that. So that's why, I mean, we've put so many blocks on our account. Mm-hmm. We block out the word like ugly, fat, pretty much any bad word they could call our girls, we've blocked word. It. Yeah. So we don't really, you know, we only get positive comments, but like, you have to be able to protect your children. So many kids are getting tablets and iPhones, and they're smart, and they know how to go around your parent blocker, or they're up at 2 a.m. chatting to people that they've never met before.
Yeah.
So I mean,
even like,
I don't even encourage people to have
devices. My kids will live. We will all move to Coeur d'Alene and live without Wi-Fi for the rest of our lives. No, but our kids, like our girls, they play this game called Roblox. It's like a whole system of online games, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. They all spend their time on there, and then they spend their parents' money on there. So someone's having a great time collecting all that money. But anyway, they have a chat option. So if anyone is a parent, please make sure that the chat option is disabled on your kid's iPad, because we've had people talk to our kids about sex, and they just use like a dollar sign as the S, and they just know how to code and like move around it.
Because they're predators,
and they will find a way to talk to a young girl.
Yeah, and actually another tip I would give is, on Instagram, don't put your phone number, because even for me having a business, I did that, and I told Brian the other day, a guy called me asking, this number kept calling, and it was a normal area code, so I finally picked up thinking it was like a family member or friend who needed to talk. And he was asking if he wanted me to be his, or if he could be my financial slave.
And sugar daddy.
Yeah, like a sugar daddy. And he was saying, yeah, I'm not really good in bed. Like, I'm not into sex stuff and stuff like that. This isn't perverted. I'm not going to ask you to like have sex with me. And like, I'm not, I don't want to be a foot fetish or anything, but I just, you know, I'm just wondering, like, whatever you want. I'll be your financial slave. And I was like, goodbye. And then I took my phone number off of Instagram because I didn't even realize that that was happening. So
I'm
think
checking our Instagram right now.
Yeah.
Take off your phone number.
Hopefully that's
weird. Yeah. I don't think we have it. You know, and it's just the thing where they are not old enough to realize that there are bad people out there, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, keep your kids innocent as for as long as you can. Put all of the parent things. Don't like have that conversation with your children before they have the phone in their hand. Know what's expected of them.
Yeah. And I think maybe like stranger danger, like we talk about that in real life, but everyone needs to talk about that on through the virtual world also.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, hey, just like that guy should, like, we watch Girl Powerful stuff like so crazy. Like, pretty much if you aren't a parent or a girl yourself, you're not allowed to even follow us because that's just, it's creepy. Why are you on there? You know? And sorry if that's like probably like generalizing or assuming, but sometimes you have to protect your youth and your community. And that's why Sonia and I are strong leaders, is because we will put boundaries where there need to be. And that's also why people have trusted us with their kids since 2014, which is a big deal.
Yeah, how do you encourage your girls too? Because now with the pandemic and everyone spending so much more time inside, naturally everybody's also spending so much more time on these platforms,
mm-hmm.
digital platforms and TikTok. And oh my God, TikTok is so addicting. I just have started looking and going down a rabbit hole, and I get why people spend hours, but you know, and then you're in a dark room and you're not getting vitamin D and all of these things that can impact your mental health. So just quickly, what are some tips you would give the girls to sort of, you know, set boundaries around these devices and do something that will improve their mental health and not, you know,
as adults too.
Yeah, as adults too.
Yeah, I just want to mimic to everyone listening that there is pandemic related stress happening right now with tweens and teens. And 50% of girls are reporting feeling depressed and having suicidal thoughts. And this isn't just a stat. It's girls who are coming into our virtual classroom saying, I'm alone. Like, they think being connected through the screen is connection. It's not.
Mm-mm.
You know, so everyone's struggling. Teenagers are really struggling. And I mean, our tips, they have to go back to being able to manage your emotions. So find a way to, like we said earlier, journal. Find a way to connect with a peer safely. And the biggest thing is movement.
Yeah, leave your phone at home.
Leave your phone at home. If you can, go for a walk. Or, you know, we actually have a new product dropping, which is a movement card deck. It's called Get Movin'. So you pull 5 cards and you basically make a workout circuit.
Yeah, it was inspired by the pandemic. And it's like, we all have to get off our screens. It's hard. Yeah. It is built for us to be addicted, and we all are. And so at the same time, like, showing ourselves grace and being like, okay, today I'm going to try to, you know, only do 30 minutes. I think 30 minutes or less for a kid with screen time is definitely the ideal situation. But I understand parents, you know, need that time to do their work from home or cook dinner or something. But hey, kids are meant to be outside. Kids are meant to be moving. If you live in a safe neighborhood, that's what you should be promoting. And definitely, if you can, do a family walk every day so your kid is moving and getting those steps in and, you know, enjoying nature and having that vitamin D boost. And now that it's spring, it's exciting. We all kind of, I feel like Sonia and I the last 2 days have felt like, oh, we have a little spring in our step. Like, we're going to come out of this finally. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. But I just, at the end of the tunnel, I don't want us to all be so broken and so, like, in our own shells that we have to start all over.
Absolutely. That's a mic drop moment.
Uh-huh.
We could keep going forever, but I just want to say thank you so much to you both for the work that you do. It is a dream to know that people like you are doing this for young girls. I've always thought that something like this is needed, and such impactful, important work for teens and adults. I think everything we've talked about is helpful for all ages.
Yeah.
So thank you. And everyone can get involved in this too and donate. So can you tell our listeners where they can find you, your foundation, and how to help?
Yes. So visit us at girlpowerful.org. There's a donate button on the page, and then to shop our journal or our affirmation card deck or in our Get Moving deck, it's in the shop. And then if you want, we always post, we have virtual classes running, and then we also have a quarterly health summit, either in self-care and self-love. They're super fun. We're moving, we're learning about hygiene, and then we're talking about emotional health. So that's on girlpowerful.org. And then follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Girl Powerful Project.
Beautiful. You guys are doing so much. Thank you for making the time today. So much time.
Oh, thank you for having us. This is
really, really cool.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, we loved it.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
So we know this season in life has been particularly challenging, and not having those human in-person social interactions can really impact our confidence levels. So we encourage you to reach out and share your challenges with someone you trust, create community and outlets for your mental health in any way that you can. And if you have teens at home that could benefit from a supportive community like Girl Powerful, we highly suggest that you send them Teddy and Sonia's way.
Absolutely. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, leave us a review, rate and subscribe as well. That really helps us grow. Thank you for listening. And remember, even if nothing feels right today, you tuning into this podcast and opening your mind is enough. Change doesn't happen overnight. So be patient and kind to yourself, and good things will come. See you next time.